Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is God's word. Amen. We'll do a little recap here. If you guys didn't know, in Colossians, Pastor Terry did a couple sermons on it, and then Bill followed up last week, and then I get the honor and privilege to follow two really well-renowned pastors. Well, at least around here you are. So Terry spoke in Faith's Encompassing Embrace Transforms Body, Heart, Mind, Soul, just saying that the Christ that is in us, that hope that is in us, is transformative of who Christ is in us. And Terry spoke a couple weeks on that. And he says, with that hope that lives in us, Christ, we should be bearing fruit. And in that's biblical terms, but really just there should be something that shows that there's a change inside of us, right? And then Bill came on the next week, and he was trying to set the total of the whole worship, the sermon being a set of worship, or an atmosphere of worship, with a reminder that God is above all, that he is preeminent. I know for me, when I was listening to that, I'm like, yeah, sure, I know all that up here. I know God was here from the beginning, and I know God created all things. And then I'm like, but do I look at that and know it and not submit to that authority? That was my challenge on Bill's sermon, because it's easy to know things. And then in the Bible, there's a word called gnosis, which is like a really intimate, like, do you really, really know something? Or do you just intellectually know it up here? This doesn't do us any good if we just have the intellect. We actually have to know it deep down inside of our hearts. And you know me, any sermon I'm going to give you is going to come with a story, right? Yeah, you guys love them. All right, so I don't know, maybe a decade ago or so, I'm at a thing called Creation Fest. It was at the Gorge in Washington, which is this beautiful amphitheater that sits on the Columbia River, I believe, right? And all these Christian bands were there. Back in my, you know, loved Christian music, I was coming out of my secular music, so like Skillet was there, and I was like, yeah. And then this band called Red, which I was like, gosh, that's a little too much for me. But anyways, so me and Dusty Benner, if you guys remember my other stories, Dusty's our pastor at our sister church over in Sojourn. And, you know, he put this whole thing together. We take the youth up there and we, you know, hang out. You camp out for 3 or 4 days, I don't remember. And, you know, you got to provide your own food and shelter and all that, which none of that. So we're sleeping out under the stars one night because of our planning, as the other group we came with has like RVs and tents and like barbecues, and we're eating ramen, and yeah, that's how it was. Anyway, so we're staring at the stars. Man, out there is no lights, so it's just absolutely beautiful. And we're watching airplanes go by at night, and satellites, you can watch them orbit, you know, you kind of see them, falling stars. And, you know, we were having a deep philosophical conversation on if aliens exist. So as we're watching and talking, all of a sudden I'm watching what I thought was a satellite, and it's coming across the stars. And then, you know, it's on a very even trajectory, and it just stops 90s and then shoots off. And Dusty saw this too. And we're both at that point like, do we want to admit what we just saw? Should I say something, or am I just losing my mind here? And then right after that, I'm not joking you, two stealth bombers flew right over the camp. Like, and if you ever seen a stealth, you can't hear them until they're already over you. It's the craziest thing. You're like, oh. So we just sat there in awkward silence for a while. Like, I think it's time to go to bed. He's like, yeah, me too. Boom, we're out. Anyways, I just thought it was interesting. And so what I'm trying to do today is what Bill was working on is to set the atmosphere. I'm trying to get you guys to get out of the atmosphere of the temporal, the busyness and all that stuff. We're trying to get to the spiritual or the eternal things. That's where I'm trying to get you guys to today. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. And I'll even use some Bible verses to back me up. To get rid of the distractions. Because if we're going to understand the spiritual things of God, we must be spiritually prepared, right? So, how many times do we walk into this service just not really prepared? Like, we come in, especially for us in ministry, we get busy doing stuff, right? We're just running around, talking to everybody, going and getting things set up. How many of you bring the problems of the weekend, right? Like, things are just going really crappy, and you just kind of come into the service, and you're like, I haven't really dealt with any of this stuff, and I just sit down. Wanting to connect with people. This is where I fell. I'll sit there and start chatting with somebody the whole time, and I'm just like, which is great. Guys, there's nothing wrong with chatting, but am I prepared? What about the fight we had with our spouse trying to get the kids ready? I remember those days. Holy cow, like, man, you lose your faith the mornings of Sunday, right? You're just like, I am going to strangle somebody if you don't get in the car. And remember the time we made them come in their pajamas because they didn't get ready on time? Whew, that didn't go over well. Anyways, the list can go on and on. And I got to say, I was challenged with this the other day. I was running around doing a bunch of great stuff, right? Working on this. Like, but are you spiritually prepared, Randy? Are you really coming into this service seeking and ready to accept something that maybe God is trying to show you? Or are you just living in the busyness of life? So as we go through this, we're going to try to focus a little more on the internal and not the temporal. See, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. I love these. Do you know these are from what's the new telescope? The James Webb, I believe. Have you guys seen those pictures? Man, they are amazing. I like the Hubble ones better because they're kind of distorted and they look more alien and it's kind of cool. These ones are just like, there's just a ton of stars out there. So, to kind of get us out of the temporal, we got to think about things eternal. So I'm going to talk to you about space a little bit. In the observable universe, there's around 100 billion galaxies, each containing an average of 100 billion stars. So 100 billion galaxies times 100 billion stars. And somebody do the quick math? Nah. So it's 10 to the 22nd power, all right? Just to give you a perspective of this, this is outer space, guys. This is what God has created. 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars in each one. And that would be 10 to the 22nd power. If you were to try to count that high, right? If you counted one number per second without any breaks, it would take you 3 billion years to count that high. Right? So I'm not giving you guys a science astrology lesson. I'm trying to get our minds focused on the eternal. And a good way to do that, if you try to think about space, infinite, and you let your mind go there, you're like, okay, we are now getting into things of God because it's so big and it's so vast. And it really does make all those other things that distract us seem kind of minimal, doesn't it? So my hope today is as you guys are listening to these stories that we will be on the spiritual side of things. If you want to turn to John 4, we can talk about the woman at the well or the woman of Samaria. See, in this, you're going to see it played out where Jesus is coming to her with spiritual or eternal things, and she keeps responding in the flesh, right? So, and I know most of you know the story, so we're not going to go through the whole thing, but Jesus asks the woman for a drink. It's like, hey, can I get a drink from you? And the woman responds saying, Jews do not associate with Samaritans. The woman says also that he has nothing to draw from. So there's the flesh, right? Like, Jesus, you physically don't have anything to draw from. And Jesus is like, wait, just a second. You're not listening. If you knew the gift of God, this is Jesus speaking, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you have asked him, and he would have given you living water, right? So now we're on the spiritual side. Jesus is like, look, I don't need a cup for what I'm having to offer you. Jesus also goes on to say that everyone who drinks of this water, when he's talking about her water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So Jesus, again, speaking in the spiritual, right? So what does the woman respond? She's not getting it, correct? She's like, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water anymore. That's a physical thing, right? She's like, man, if I don't have to come all the way over here to this well and get water, that would be great. Like, let me have that. That would make my life so much better. I want you guys to think about that for a second. There's probably a lot of opportunities that Jesus is trying to speak to us on the spiritual or eternal realm where we just respond in the flesh like, oh, you're going to make my life easier so I don't have to walk all the way to the well to get water? Later on, the woman says, our father worshipped on this mountain, but you say Jerusalem is the place to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God going to the spiritual. And he goes on to say, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Again, I've spent this 10 minutes just to kind of bring you guys into this spiritual realm, into this eternal realm, where we're not just focusing on the temporal things or the actions of our day or the things that have attacked us or brought us down or things we've done to ourselves, right? Like, I'm a great example of things that we've done to ourselves to kind of bring yourselves down every once in a while. And so, again, I really want to encourage you guys as I'm speaking that if we can just continue to work towards the eternal things of life, that Jesus is saying that it's spiritual. It's not just inside our flesh. Now, our flesh is at war with this, our spirits, but we need to be prepared when we come into here. In Colossians 1:21, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So, as a speaker, I should know my audience, and this is how I'm going to speak to you guys. I'm going to put you guys into three groups. I think there's those of you that have been raised in the church since a little age, and you've grown up, and you've done all the church things, and you had to come to salvation on your own, right? Like, you had to, at some point, know that, as Paul's writing here, you were once alienated, but somewhere during that journey, it wasn't just going to church. It wasn't just doing good deeds at church. There was actually a reconciliation in your mind that you went, there's something missing here. There's something that in my heart that I know that I'm separated from God. And just walking into a building and doing good things is not what has reconciled me with God. Then there's those of you that are like me that came to faith later in life, right? So we sit there and we've spent 30 years doing horrible, bad, icky things. And we go into church and it's a pretty radical transformation, right? Like, I was in a really bad spot before I found Jesus Christ. And to see that he changed my life and is continuing to change. You ever want to hear about that? Talk to Greg and Corey. They can tell you how I was even as a Christian 10, 15 years ago. And then there's those of you that have really never given your life to Christ. You're still doing it on your own. I was there in my 30s. I remember what it was like. I had everything figured out. I knew how I was doing it. I had money and I had relationships and a decent job and all those American dreams. And I had all my faith put in those things. But we all need to be reminded of what we've been saved from. Either you who have been in the church all your life, those of us that have come later, and those of you that maybe just don't know Jesus yet, Paul is very clear here. You were alienated from God, all of us. Not just those of us like me who were doing drugs and drinking and fornicating and living a very selfish, indulgent life. And by the way, I would probably have some good stories about being in jail, but I feel like the mercy of God saved me many times. Actually, I know he did, because there was quite a few times I got pulled over that I should have been hauled off to jail. And in my cockiness, I was like, oh yeah, let's go brag about how cool I am because I didn't get put in jail. And I think it was, and what I know now is it was at the mercy of God protecting me, because it might have sent me in a spiral that I don't know if I'd have come back. But this verse shows both our flesh and our spirit of our minds, because he says, you are enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviors. And again, we're just coming back to that thing is like, maybe those of you that were raised in the church, maybe you looked really good on the outside and did all the right things, and you helped out, you ministered, and you were probably in the right positions and all that. But what, you know, there's some of us that Jesus would call whitewashed tombs, right? We were a beautiful grave, all cleaned up with nothing inside. Or you get guys like me who, I like to use the line, at least I'm not as bad as I used to be, right? Like, man, aren't you proud of me, honey? I'm not going down and getting drunk at the bar every night anymore. Doesn't that make me a good guy? It doesn't, by the way. So he goes on to say, we are enemies of God, and that might sound harsh, but it really explains where we really were and how far separated from God we were. And that's all of us. I got to encompass all of us in that. None of us were not enemies of God's. In Titus 3:3, it says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating others. Obviously, there's some fleshly acts in there, but I want to remind you, it came back to where he said, we are enemies of God's in our mind. That probably played into those fleshly acts. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and you were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Not only were we separated from God, but we were actually acting against him. Look at this. It says, we were the followers of the prince of the power of the air. That's the evil side of things. That's the demonic side of things. We also know that our flesh is at war with our spirit. One of the reasons we get so distracted when we come in here is because our flesh doesn't want us to come in here and be spiritually ready to receive the word of God. It's easy for our flesh to get distracted. I'll give you I can tell you where my flesh is, and this is, you know, I was super sick yesterday for some reason. I mean, down and out, done. Right, babe? Like, I was asleep from 11 a.m. till about 7 p.m. this morning. My wife made me a nice piece of toast last night, and I managed to get that down. And I was just thinking, like, man, the flesh is so weak. Like, why am I, like, is this a spiritual thing where the enemy's like, man, you have something really good to say? Or is it God going, man, I really don't want you preaching tomorrow? But I just seen the weakness of the flesh, but I also love what my wife said. She goes, you know, Randy, he goes, where you're at right now, you have not had any time to sit down and go over your notes. You felt horrible. He's like, this is all going to be from God tomorrow, or this morning when we were talking. It goes on, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And James 4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy to God. Boy, this doesn't sound like good news, right? Like, Paul's laying it on. He's, you know, I don't know why we're 3 or 4 chapters or verses into this, or now about 20 verses in, and now all of a sudden he's like, but I gotta remind you. Why is Paul reminding them? Because sometimes we forget what we were saved from, right? Are we not human where we get content and comfortable in all the things that we do, and it's so easy to just kind of bypass those things in our past or bypass how separated from God we were? But here's the good news. We get to go into Colossians 22. And I love this. We're going to see a lot of buts in here. B-U-T, ladies and gentlemen. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Isn't that great news? Isn't that great news? That we just spent 10 minutes talking about how we are alienated, how that we were separated from God, and then he puts this big but in there. And there's a lot more. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Ephesians 2:44-5, but God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. There's another one in Ephesians, but Ephesians 2:8-9, for by the grace of God you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Amen? And there's many more but gods in here. See, that's the good part about it. It's like, it's okay to hear about who we were. It's okay to hear what we were saved from. It's okay to even, as he's proclaiming here, is no matter what we've done or what we've been through, there is a but God in there that covers all that. There is a but God. While you were this, I still came for you. While you were still sinners, I sent my only son for you. How good a news is that for all of us today? So, I got a few more buts here just to kind of solidify the point here, but I also want to speak in, so, but God in Titus 3:5, he said he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of our Holy Spirit. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My hope here is that we don't dwell on the alienation part. My hope here is that we don't. Some people get upset that you have to hear about the bad stuff, that you have to hear about how far away from God we used to be, or that in that we would do some pretty bad things. But that's why the gospel is called the good news, is because the good news is to share no matter where we are at, how far separated from God, that Jesus still came and died for us and paid that ultimate sacrifice so that we can be renewed in him, that our sins he took on, we no longer have to bear those. So that life I lived before knowing Christ, as hard as it is for me not to feel guilty about the things I did, I should not be feeling guilty. The world's going to condemn me. I know. I deal with it all the time. There's so many things in my past that there are some people that will just keep going, but you, Randy, you were this, and you treated me like this, and you did this to me, and I'm like, ha, but God. If I truly believe what God has done for me, then your condemnation means nothing to me. I'm sorry, I've repented, I've gone to all those people, and I've apologized. I've done as best I can to try to reconcile with them. But I also fall under the grace of God saying, look, I know how my life was, I know what I did, I am so sorry for that. But God has covered all those sins. So my challenge to you today, as we've heard about where we were at, and then we heard about the good news and the grace of God coming before us and saving us from who we are. I want to first talk to you believers, whether you're like me coming later in life or maybe you've been raised in the church. Is that but God in your life really transformational? Are you in that sanctification process of becoming more like Christ all the time? I'm not asking you if you've been perfect, because you won't be. Everybody sins, the Bible says, and falls short of the glory of God. And again, that's all of us. Here's a little bit of a litmus test. Think about how you handled the last really, really difficult situation in your life. Really difficult. We're not talking about trying to get the kids ready for church, which is very difficult. But a difficult situation either at home, with your family, with your work, or even at church. We're a family. There's going to be some difficult situations here, and my wife and I can attest to that over the last 13 years. And when you dealt with that difficult situation, was it dealt with in the flesh? Or was it dealt with the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit's? In Galatians 5, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. And then he goes on to list the things of the Spirit, the bad things and the good things. And my question is, was there patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Was that your response in that situation? Or was it still living in the flesh? And then there's maybe some of you that are like me, that you came to faith later in life. Are you still going, at least I'm not as bad as I used to be? Because that is not a good example. That is not where you want to set the standard. My standard should be, am I becoming more like Christ? Don't fall into that trap. And then there might be a few of you here today that don't know Jesus, that don't know the saving grace of what he can do for your life, that how he can cover a multitude of sins. I was once there. I had it all figured out until God took it all away from me. I remember denying Christ one time in a church in Alabama when I knew he had been calling my life and I was too afraid to go up and accept him. I want to warn you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, a day is coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it doesn't mean if you have not accepted Jesus today, that'll be the last thing you say to him. There will be a separation. I know when I got saved, we were reading this in small group the other day, and I couldn't quite figure out how I got saved that first time or why I got up and I went to church that morning. Like, I was not a believer. I did not go to church, and I got up, and I got all the kids ready by myself, and I went, and until about this week at small group, it dawned on me, and there's a verse here. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And I can totally tell you there was a veil over my heart, over my eyes, that I had been living my life thinking I had it all figured out. But really, until God removed that veil and I turned to Jesus and I repented and I gave my life to him, I was not in a good spot. So I'd encourage you today, if you have never truly given your life to God, if you've never said, Jesus, I'm kind of tired of doing this on my own, I would love to have as Bill was saying, the creator of all the universe, the person in charge of all things, preeminent, before all things, I would love to come alongside you and have you be in my heart and forgive me of those things that I've done, even if the world doesn't forgive me. My encouragement to you today is you have an opportunity to accept Jesus today. As the band plays, the altar will be open. There's a few of us elders here somewhere, if they're not all up here. We will find somebody to pray for you. And if you are a believer, and the fruit of the spirits maybe has not been your go-to on all things, if it's time for a little repentance or even thanksgiving, the altar's open. Ask Corey. I think I was at the altar so many times as a young believer that she wrote a song about it. Man, I was working out my salvation. But come, today, we will pray for you. Do not let another day go by without knowing the loving, saving goodness of Jesus Christ.